produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com.
$755,000. That is a big number to be sure, but do you know what this number represents? It signifies the total number of citizens in America arrested on marijuana charges in 2004. That's right. 755,000 of your fellow citizens were arrested on marijuana charges. That's an arrest every 40 seconds. And 9 out of 10 of those arrested are for possession-only charges. Does continuing marijuana prohibition make sense to you? It certainly does not to the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and its members. I'm Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, and if you too think that it is high time to end marijuana prohibition and replace it with a tax and regulate policy, please join and support Normal's 36-year legislative efforts to reform our country's misguided marijuana laws. You can learn more about Normal or become an active supporter by calling toll-free 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L, or by visiting us on the web at normal, N-O-R-M-L.org.
James Roquefort here from peopleradio.com, and you're listening to Normal, the podcast for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Oh, I didn't know they needed reforming. It's illegal, you say? I'll be right back. Sorry, I had to flush my goldfish down the toilet. What was this about marijuana? Oh well, now on with the show.
Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. We've got another great stash of audio for you today. Take a moment to join us at Normal. Visit NORML.org. Wednesdays, we focus on health and wellness. And in our first segment today, you can find out how to maintain your cool when stopped by police. Welcome to the Garden of Wellness, an audio stash segment exploring cannabis smokers' continued good health. With all the news about the medical marijuana facility raids, it's a good time to focus on keeping healthy in one of the most stressful of times, during a police stop. Encounters with police should be an easy interaction between members of a community, but in the war on drugs, police stops with coercive tactics have caught legal and media attention across the country. So, what should you do in a police stop? Luckily, as a member of Normal, I have a reminder right in my wallet. It's called the Freedom Card. This little card is an amazing tool and also a worthwhile refresher on some of the most important aspects of our Constitution. We may sometimes forget the libertarian ideals our law was structured upon. Basically, here in America, you are free if you act so. Law enforcement are not in the business of reminding you of your rights. They're in the business of sending Americans to increasingly private prisons. So what do you do in a police encounter? Let's take a look at Normal's Freedom Card. I'm reading from the one that lives right in my very own wallet.
You should learn not to make personal remarks. Why is a raven like a writing desk? Come, we should have some fun now.
The Normal Foundation Freedom Card. The U.S. Constitution prohibits the government from interfering with your right to remain silent, to consult with an attorney, and to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures by law enforcement. However, it is up to you to assert these rights. This Normal Foundation Freedom Card will help you do so effectively. If you are confronted by a police officer, remain calm. Be courteous and provide your identification. Politely refuse to answer any further questions. Ask to talk to an attorney. Do not consent to any search of your person, your property, your residence, or your vehicle. Tell the officer you would like to give him or her this card, which is a statement of the constitutional rights you wish to invoke. Do not reach for this card until you have obtained the officer's permission to do so. If the officer fails to honor your rights, remain calm and polite. Ask for the officer's identifying information and ask him or her to note your objection to the report. Do not attempt to physically resist an unlawful arrest, search, or seizure. If necessary, you may point out the violations to a judge at a later time. This is all from the Normal Foundation, and once you turn the card over, your rights are clearly stated for both you and an officer you might encounter. Here are those rights. I hereby invoke and refuse to waive all of the following rights and privileges afforded to me by the U.S. Constitution. I invoke and refuse to waive my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. Do not ask me any questions. I invoke and refuse to waive my Sixth Amendment right to an attorney of my choice. Do not ask me any questions without my attorney present. I invoke and refuse to waive all privileges and rights pursuant to the case Miranda versus Arizona. Do not ask me any questions or make any comment to me about this decision. I invoke and refuse to waive my Fourth Amendment right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. I do not consent to any search and seizure of myself, my home, or any property in my possession. Do not ask me about my ownership interest in any property. I do not consent to this contact with you. I am not presently under arrest or under investigatory detention. Please allow me to leave. Any statement I make or alleged consent I give in response to your questions is hereby made under protest and under duress and in submission at your claim of lawful authority to force me to provide you with information. That is the complete text of Normal's Freedom Card. The Freedom Card is a tool to help you protect your rights, but the most important starting point is the attitude you present to law enforcement. It's easy to become defensive, argumentative, and in other ways hostile, and this is usually due to one thing, fear. Whether we'd like to admit it or not, even when we are totally confident in our status as quote-unquote law-abiding, getting pulled over makes adrenaline rush. Hearts pound and reason slip away. Just watch a few late night reruns of Cops. So, as absolutely difficult as it may be, everyone, really, the best advice is to remain calm during your police encounter. You can soothe your mind by visiting the legal help sections of Normal's website to stay on top of current local laws and bookmark the names of local Normal affiliated attorneys, just in case your police encounter becomes a longer stay. Unfortunately, police are some of the biggest causes of health problems among medical cannabis patients, raiding their facilities and denying them their medicine, as well as arresting hundreds of thousands of Americans annually, largely for simple marijuana possession. But not all police are pro-drug war. Next week, we'll speak with a law enforcement against prohibition representative on how police themselves view this situation. Get your very own freedom cards right now. We have links right up at normalaudiostash.com. This has been the Garden of Wellness, an Audio Stash segment exploring cannabis smokers' continued good health. Get your freedom card today from Normal. You'll get a nicely printed one with any membership, or you can download it for free. Again, we got links up at normalaudiostash.com. Now let's get to some stash music from the Hempilation 2 album. Here's Hank Flamingo with the Dope Smokin' Song.
On the White House roof, and old Merle Haggard likes to smoke that hooch. There's a tale or two to tell on Jerry Lee. My favorite country singer is Johnny Cash, and back in 68 he liked to smoke. So if it's okay by June, I guess it's all right with me. Let's all get stoned and listen to George Jones. We'll be higher than a hippie on a helicopter. Will make you cry. And good corn liquor make you fight. And Jose Cuervo, well, you're no friend of mine. But I like the smell and I like the taste of a big old fat stuff right. If you got them, smoke them, save some for the boys and the band here on stage with you tonight. Sing with us one time. What do you say? Let's all get stoned and listen to George Jones. We'll be higher than a hippie on a helicopter ride. Brother, I sing mine high, high, high.
That was Hank Flamingo from the Hempelation 2 album here on the Audio Stash. We have some pod-safe comedy for you later in the program today. And now it's time for our weekly interview with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, professor of psychology at State University of New York and author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. We have links to the book at normalaudiostash.com. This week, we look at the side of cannabis that is literally smoke-free. Mitch, welcome back here to the program today.
Always a pleasure.
You know, we've been covering the federal government's raids of medical marijuana facilities out in California, and a lot of what they're confiscating isn't marijuana for people to smoke. It's actually a whole variety of products, all kinds of stuff, with marijuana and cannabis in it, and thus with THC in it. So let's talk about the science of this a bit today. First, you know, what happens when you eat marijuana?
Well, smoked cannabis goes directly to the lungs and then from the lungs right to the brain. So it's a really direct, really rapid way to get THC and the other cannabinoids into your system. When you eat cannabis or cannabis extracts, it tends to absorb much more slowly. It has to be broken down by the liver, and this creates often more intense effects that take a longer time to have their impact and then last for a longer time. You can see how a medical user who might want to have cannabis at a low level but in his or her system throughout the day might appreciate orally administered cannabis, so that way they can have a little bit early in the day and have it stay in their system for hours and hours, as opposed to a smoked cannabis that might essentially be all metabolized in just a couple of hours.
Mitch, I know we get a number of cannabinoids when we inhale cannabis, but do we get them all when we eat it as well?
Not only do you get all of those, but one of the metabolites made by the liver is actually more psychoactive, essentially has a higher potential for impact than the metabolites you make when you inhale cannabis. So that's why it's something where the dosage has to be something you really experiment with and get to know, but the impact of orally administered cannabis can be markedly more dramatic.
Mitch, people are likely to wonder what the intoxicating sensation is like here. So how does it compare to smoking cannabis?
Of course, it varies from strain to strain, just like with inhaled vapor, but generally the impact is more dramatic with a smaller dose with eaten cannabis, but you don't experience the full impact until markedly later. So it could take 2-3 hours after you've consumed cannabis orally to get the maximum impact, whereas with smoked cannabis, that can often be a minute or less.
Now let's talk about something very important here, the side effects. Are they any different with edible cannabis?
The only real problems related to eating cannabis and side effects are folks who don't understand their dosage. So because people don't often know, it can take a couple of hours to have its maximum impact. People eat a little bit, wait a half an hour, and think that they're not going to get any effect, and end up eating markedly more. And that's clearly going to end up having them consume more than they probably needed. The other curious thing is that if you do get munchies, if you do get improved appetite with orally administered cannabis, which is a very common and very helpful effect, unfortunately, the most convenient thing to eat may be the thing you just baked, and that would end up increasing your chances of it consuming more than you really needed as well. But once, you know, this becomes common knowledge that orally administered cannabis has this slower impact, I think people will really understand that they can monitor their dosage appropriately and have the medical effects last longer with orally administered cannabis than with inhalation.
And Mitch, because the cannabis is being metabolized in the liver, are there any long-term side effects there? I mean, we've heard so much in the news lately about things like acetaminophen.
It seems extremely unlikely because this is a non-toxic set of substances. All the cannabinoids are pretty easily metabolized and removed from the body, even though they are fat-soluble. I'm much more concerned with alcohol and in combination alcohol and acetaminophen having a negative impact on the liver than I would ever worry about cannabis.
So as well as the benefits of eating the cannabis and getting all the cannabinoids, there's also a factor out there for medical patients that there's none of the very distinctive odor of marijuana. So you can take your medication without any discrimination as well.
There's actually no vapor, you know, there's nothing to create any odor. People who are concerned about respiratory effects, I always point them towards the vaporizer. But in fact, you know, there's nothing to impact your lungs from eating cannabis because there's nothing inhaled in the lungs. And that's another potential advantage when you think about it that way.
Now, I know that you're not a marijuana chef, as it were, but Mitch, what are the best methods to prepare cannabis for edible consumption?
In fact, the cannabinoids are all soluble in fat, so the easiest way to administer them orally is to essentially let them dissolve in either oil or butter. High Times has a wonderful DVD called Chef Ra, Cooking with Cannabis, or Ganja Gourmet, I guess it's called. And essentially what you see is you take about an eighth to a quarter of an ounce in a stick of butter, put it in a double boiler, let the cannabis cook for 25 to 35 minutes. Essentially that's long enough to get the cannabinoids out without getting too much of that grassy, leafy flavor. And then go ahead and strain the butter, or you can do the same thing with a quarter cup of olive oil or corn oil or anything like that. Don't let it get too hot. Don't let it boil. Don't let it burn in there. And then you can use that in any recipe that you would use butter or oil in anyway. So Chef Ra has pumpkin pie and, any kind of cake or brownie or things along those lines are very traditional cannabis consumption products. But also you could use them to make nachos or anything that you would use olive oil in. So it's really a very convenient, very versatile way to administer the medication.
You know, Mitch, the last time I was in San Francisco, I saw edible cannabis products for patients with specific THC doses printed right on the labels. So, you know, how do you figure out that dose?
In fact, if you use, a quarter ounce per stick of butter, and then you use that stick of butter to make a batch of brownies, you can just sort of divide that out and know for yourself. I think it's wonderful that the dispensaries have already, made this dosage well known and that they can label things along those lines. But each individual should experiment depending on your symptoms, how much you need to use. And by all means, start very small and work up gradually to see if you can alleviate symptoms. And in truth, you almost always can, and it doesn't have to have a big psychoactive impact. So plenty of folks who are medical users don't have any intoxication because they know how much they need to eat without experiencing any cognitive effects, and they can still be completely relieved of nausea or vomiting or insomnia or any of the other symptoms that they're using cannabis to treat.
Now, an important question here, Mitch. Do people have dependency issues with regular consumption of edible cannabis?
In fact, there aren't very many studies on this kind of topic because this research isn't done a lot. But the bottom line is it's the same probable risk for addiction as you have with inhaled, and that's, the 9 to 12% statistic I've talked about in the past. Yes, a few people develop tolerance or very mild cases of withdrawal, but this is not a drug that creates a lot of dependence like some of the alternative medications, including the opiates or sedatives that are used for insomnia and things like that. I really don't see addiction as a key problem, particularly among medical users.
Mitch, we've touched on the fact that people should start experimenting with doses of edible cannabis very slowly. So let's talk about that a little more. What dose should somebody start with, a patient or an individual? You know, half a brownie, 10 milligrams?
It's interesting because the comparisons with the smoked dose are probably pretty reasonable. If you can get a subjective effect with a tenth of a gram inhaled, odds are high that you would get that much or a little more with orally administered cannabis, but it would just take a longer time to have its impact. This research is still in its infancy, but that's what I would recommend.
Dr. Mitch Earlywine is author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence. He's a professor at State University of New York and also a Normal Advisory Board member. Mitch, thanks again for joining us here today on Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
Links to Dr. Earlywine's book, Understanding Marijuana, are up at normalaudiostash.com. Now, one of the most important aspects to continued good health is humor. Science and human nature tell us to have a good laugh every single day. So here are a few, courtesy of podshow.com. We'll hear some trippy stuff from Fat Hippie Records. And of course, one of our absolute favorites here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the folks at Peeper Radio Theater. We got links to these funny guys right up at normalaudiostash.com.
Do you hate Xmas? I do. James Roquefort here for Peeper Brand Robotic Santas. Every year around this time, I receive bags and bags of coal, and where that has led to a rather profitable coal reseller business for me, I'd like, for once, to receive a present I actually want. With Peeper Brand Robotic Santas, you can program your very own Saint Nick to deliver anything on your wish list. Just switch him on, enter in your desired gift, and off he goes. In minutes, the robotic fat man will be back with whatever your heart desires. Ah, here he is now. Why have you brought me the corpse of spy novelist John le Carré? In fact, is he even dead yet? Oh, dear. Looks like I made the naughty list again. Well, Merry Xmas anyway, from Peeper Radio Theater.
Peeper Radio Theater presents Homes in 30 Seconds. Tonight's episode, The Empty House. And go.
Holmes! 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 Holmes, are you up here? The house is empty.
Time.
That was some spectacular pod-safe comedy found up at podshow.com. We heard that trippy stuff from Fat Hippie Records and, of course, the great Peeper Radio Theater. We got links to these guys right up at normalaudiostash.com. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. To Alan St. Pierre and Dr. Mitch Earlywine for contributing to today's show. Thanks to podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red. at AFID Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.
We welcome your feedback, questions, comments, and most importantly, your support. Contact us at Normal and the Normal Foundation, 1600 K Street, Suite 501, Washington, D.C., 2006-2832, or email normal@normal.org.